Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello there.
Hi.
And welcome. You've ruined like the opening of series 9.
Sorry, carry on. Start the music again.
Happy.
Start the music again.
No.
All right.
No, I'm in charge of the edit, and I say we power through. Hello, and welcome to Series 9 of Friends with Friends. My name's Pete Allison, and unless he's changed it while we've been away, this is Dave Cribb.
I've actually changed it to Francis Bacon. Oh, Bacon's the only word I can think of.
Francis Bacon.
I was trying to think of a fun, new, unique name.
Friends
and you say Francis,
Bacon.
You hear Bacon, don't you? So
I
yeah.
don't think I do.
Really? If I say Francis, if I say name someone famous called Francis, who would you say?
Former footballer Francis Jeffers.
You'd go Francis Jeffers over Francis Bacon?
Well, yeah, I would.
Really?
Yeah.
That is nuts. I'm going to type in Francis to Google.
Drake? Wasn't he one? See, Francis
yeah,
Drake?
Yeah, he was. Francis, right. Francis Rossi is the top
off of Status Quo.
Yeah, he's the top Francis. That's mad, yeah. Isn't it? Who else is on there? Francis Drake's up there, actually. Yeah, you're quite right. Okay, so
who was Francis Drake? What did he do?
He was an explorer. He went around the world quicker than some of the
people. What did he find?
I think he just went around it. I think he just circumnavigated it, right?
Right. I think we could do that these days. That's nothing special.
Do you know who is the fifth most famous Francis according to Google? It's a much more modern Francis. Much more modern.
Francis. I don't know.
Think of... Well, actually, let's immediately give it away. Trains.
Trains?
Trains.
Oh, M.
Francis Bourgeois.
With the camera on his head.
Yeah.
That's it.
Him.
Yeah.
He's the fifth most famous Francis. He's actually above Francis Bacon. I think poor old Bacon would be livid at that. Absolutely livid. If you're new to this podcast, this is a podcast about friends. It's probably not been clear. Is there any Francis's in Friends? I feel like there might be. Characters.
Franny?
Yeah, kind of some Franny and like Franks. But is there a Francis? There's one that's like one ring.
Well, it's
bell.
Frank. Frank Jr.
Ah, do you know? No, do you know what it is? A, there are. So, yeah. So, Francis, the female spelling of it is Phoebe's grandma. That's what it is.
I
but
see.
I was in my head, I was thinking Francis, as in Joseph Francis Tribbiani.
Oh, okay.
So there you go.
Well, there you go. That was all planned and intentional.
Just like Sir Francis Drake's circumnavigation of the world.
And just like that, we revert to talking utter bullshit.
Have you missed it? Have you missed it, Pete?
It's nice to be back, isn't it?
Yeah, it is nice to be back. Do you know what? I got really excited watching Friends, because weirdly, I don't watch Friends much when we're not doing the
Me
podcast
neither.
Anymore.
Do you know what? I actually didn't think I've watched it since the... end of series 8.
I have maybe a couple of times, but I used to watch it back to back to back. And since we started doing the podcast, I think it's such a different relationship we have with it now. That
what you're trying to say is that the podcast ruined your enjoyment of Friends.
Ruined or concentrated it into a more sort of
professional context.
Pure form. Now I watch,
it's
I
no
make
longer
notes,
fun.
I
it's
research,
now work.
I consider, but do I watch it for fun anymore? Not so much.
Well, who's going to have the all-important task of requesting the first episode of Series 9, Dave?
Well, Peter, I've got the answer to that question for you right here. You ready for it?
Yeah.
Good. Can you tell I was padding when I got it up? No, that's good.
I think I remember her name, to be fair, so I could have just stole your thunder and said it.
Okay, I'll give you four guesses as to
Lucy.
What her name is. Lucy.
Yeah. I don't remember that.
I don't know why that's made me laugh so much. But it really
don't need
has.
Four guesses. Got it in one.
So Lucy is the requester of the first episode of season 9?
9, yeah.
Crikey Moses, we're nearly done as many seasons as Friends. That's a lot,
well,
isn't it?
That's almost literally why we're here, Dave.
Is it?
I want to do as many through. Episodes of this podcast as there are of Friends.
Understandable,
that's
yes.
Absolutely right. The point.
Now you make a very, very good point. Okay, ahoy. The greeting of the podcast. Thank you, Lucy. Love the pod. Thanks. And listen from day one. And this next sentence, Pete, will vindicate everything we've just done so far. I came for the Friends chat, but honestly stayed for the admin and random topics you talk about instead.
Oh, good. You should
thank
be satisfied.
You, Lucy, you're very satisfied now, especially if you're a Patreon subscriber, because before this main episode, patreon.com/friendspod, we did 17 minutes of Wiffle Waffle this week. 17!
And
frankly, the
I
people
can't
on Patreon,
be asked to edit that down, so you're getting yeah, a lot.
Absolutely.
While we're on Patreon, if you would like Friends of Friends a day early and ad-free, it will only cost you £3 a month if you go to Friends. No, if you go to patreon.com/friendspod, you can sign up right now and get this and a load of extra shit.
Just for you and everyone else that's on there. I'm requesting the one with the butt, sometimes a bit of a forgotten episode, despite the classic acting from Joey. I'd love to hear what you think happens in Freud the Musical. She's put Freud
no,
and then
say,
brackets.
You didn't say Freud loud enough.
Freud!
It's got an exclamation mark.
Freud!
Yeah.
Oh, the dog just came to the door when I shouted Freud, sorry.
Is your dog called Freud?
No, Hercules, come on, that's not your name, be better. And Lizzie's put the musical in brackets with a question mark, which is a good point because it isn't called Freud the Musical, but it does seem to be a musical. That song gets stuck in my head far too frequently. And I always think about how the woman Chandler dates must have mad scheduling skills or no job to seriously keep up with 4+ relationships at once. Yes, I have thoughts on Aurora for sure. Thanks both, Lucy. Well, Lucy, thank you very much. Would you like a synopsis, Peter?
Yeah, go on.
Season 1, episode 6, the one with the butt. 456655. It's quite satisfying, isn't it, actually? Chandler dates Aurora, a beautiful, exotic woman that he soon learns is married.
Exotic?
I know, it's a terrible word, that, isn't it? I thought...
I don't really like that phrasing.
No, it's very... It feels like this synopsis was written in 1994, doesn't it? let's just call her a beautiful woman that he soon learns is married and has another boyfriend. Chandler's initially fine having a polyamorous relationship, but is able to handle yet another lover being added to the mix. Joey's new talent agent, Estelle Leonard, gets him a film role as a stand-in for Al Pacino's butt double. However, he's fired because he overacts in it. And Rachel cleans the apartment, which triggers Monica's obsessive-compulsive tendencies after moving some furniture around.
I mean, that's a very minor part of the episode.
We should
is.
Probably start with that one because there's absolutely tits all there, right?
I would also struggle with someone moving my furniture around when they'd recently moved in.
Yeah, I think, weirdly, because you know, Chandler moves in late, many, many years down the line and does a clean. That drives Monica absolutely... Well, it doesn't drive Monica wild, actually. It drives Chandler wild because he moves everything around and has to sort of, you know, recreate it exactly. It feels like her reaction to that would be much more severe than it is here, where she's just a bit like, oh, you've moved the ottoman, have you? You know? Whereas it feels like... her OCD tendencies grow as the season goes on. You know, this feels like the first big exploration of it, doesn't it?
Although, having just said that feels like something that would annoy me, if someone's moving into your home properly,
yeah,
then I think you should be prepared to give a bit and allow them to contribute to the home.
Well, it's not exactly something they're taking, is it? If you're cleaning the apartment, that's quite a nice gesture, right?
That's true.
I think that's just a chore you don't need to do. It's just someone like Monica loves doing that chore so much, I guess, and does it in her own way, that would annoy her. But, I mean, basically, there's only two scenes of this entire plot, right?
Well, there's that bit, and then the bit at the end where it really winds Monica up, and then she freaks out when she goes to bed about her shoes.
Yeah, that's it. And in Monica's defense, who puts an ottoman in front of the TV and not in front of the chair it's clearly a footrest for?
Well, Rachel's justification is that it's an extra seat around the table. Like,
would you want to sit on a sort of curvy
big emergency
footstool?
Chairs vibes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's not comfortable, is it? But it is a curvy footstool, isn't it? It's not a poof.
It is. It's just the way you said it made it sound like a drag name.
Yeah, that is my new drag name, Curvy Footstool.
Please welcome.
Curvy Footstool. Yeah, I just think like a poof that's a sort of... Is that the difference, by the way, between a poof and an ottoman? I've never really known.
No, doesn't an ottoman open?
Oh, maybe it does, yeah.
Can't you put stuff in an ottoman and yet you can't put stuff in a poof?
Correct. A low upholstered seat without a back or arms that typically serves also as a box with a seat hinge to form the lid. Do you know what? Okay, so what's a poof? Is a poof just a non... Oh, I'm typing poof definition into Google. A cushioned footstool with low seat and no back. Or low seat with no back. Wow, Pete, do you know what I've just realised?
Something about poof?
That I've been calling my ottoman a poof for years.
Oh no!
I've got an ottoman. I've got an ottoman in my living room.
God,
and it's not a poof. I call it the poof, but it's got a hinged lid.
What do you keep in your ottoman?
Dog toys and blankets.
Okay.
Easily accessible dog paraphernalia, I'd say.
Okay. Tell us what's in your ottoman. you can get in touch with us. I don't have an ottoman.
So there you go. That's a whole revelation. And that's something that, honestly, that's changed my life. Not my life, maybe.
That feels extreme.
Great, fine. Well, there you go. Ottoman to poof. Poof to ottoman, sorry. Where were we? Oh, yeah, so Rachel's moved it. Terrible seat around the coffee table. Also, it is a bit of a curved footstool. That would be weird for an ottoman, wouldn't it? Like, to put stuff in that, what a weirdly shaped box.
I think I've run out of comments to make on poofs.
Yeah, that's fair, to be fair. Okay, fine. Like you say, nothing happens. They all just take the piss out of Monica. She uses the word kook a lot, which I've never really thought would fit in that context, you know? Isn't just a kook like...
Kook
just
is
like,
in...
The kooks.
Kook just to me is like sort of quirky.
Yeah, like exactly, a quirky person. Not like a... Not like a specifically messy or, you know?
Feels
odd, doesn't it? Anyway, then right at the end of the episode, classic C-plot fashion in Friends. Like, it's the last 30 seconds of it. Monica's going to bed, leaves her shoes in the middle of the floor. Rachel sort of goes, oh, you sure you want to do that? And then Monica stays awake all night worrying, that's the end, goodbye. Hey, Pete.
What?
Should we listen to the first sting of season 9?
Why, they knew?
No, they're exactly the same. It's just the first one.
Oh,
it's just the first time it's been here.
But yeah, fine. I thought you made new ones then.
Nah, you're a bollocks. Let's go back to the cold open, shall we, before we start. It's one of my favourites of all time.
What are the actual lyrics?
All you want is a dinkle, isn't it? A dinkle? Because tinkle, you tinkle through a dinkle. Is that right?
I'm just... All you want is a dingle, it
a
says.
A dingle?
What you envy is a schwang, a thing with which you can tinkle or play with
or simply let hang. Yeah, maybe dingle, not dinkle. I mean, I've never heard dingle or dinkle to mean penis. Have you?
Well, what do you think of when you hear the word dingle?
Dingle? The Emmerdale?
Yeah, Emmerdale, exactly. people outside the UK, Emmerdale is a soap.
Yeah.
A soap opera on telly,
yeah.
And they're a well-known family that have been in it like throughout its history.
They're like the main family, right, in Emmerdale. I don't think I've ever actually watched Emmerdale, but that is the only family.
Name a dingle.
Peter Dingle.
He's not one.
Who's that?
Is he? It's Peter Dingle, one of the
Dingles. No, I've never seen Emmerdale, mate. That's what. What did I just say?
Yeah, but I thought you still would know.
No, couldn't tell you. What? Can you name a Dingle?
Mandy Dingle.
Mandy Dingle. What a name. I don't think when creating quite a successful soap opera, you would call the main family a slang word for a penis. I think it must be Dinkle. Because Dinkle also rhymes with Tinkle.
Tinkle is penis.
Tinkle is?
Yeah.
Or Dinkle.
Tinkle.
Well, Tinkle's a wee though, isn't it?
Is it?
That's what he's saying in the song, thing through which you can tinkle.
Yeah, but I think tinkle is like when you're a kid.
Yeah.
Oh, right. When I was a kid, my parents called the penis the tinkle.
Did they?
Yeah.
I don't think I've heard that. Your little tinkle. Go and touch your little tinkle. Touch your
What do you think I was doing?
I don't know why I said that. And as soon as I said it, I thought that is one of the weirdest things I've ever
said. Insight into Dave's childhood, though. Leave it, Dave.
Oh, Christ. Okay, well, there you go. So So actually, if it was a song by you about this, you'd have rhymed Tinkle with Tinkle.
Oh, you want is... Yeah, I would.
And that is bad rhyming, Pete. You can't rhyme the same word twice. So the good people are friends. I think I've changed it to Dinkle, but who knows? Or a Dingle. Either way, this is probably the longest anyone's ever analysed the lyrics of the opening song to Freud.
But it's important, dear.
It's very important. To answer Lucy's question, what do you think happens in the musical Freud? Do you think it's just a classic retelling of his life? It starts quite sort of deep in, doesn't it?
It's proper psychoanalyzing people. It seems quite sort of jovial for quite a serious sort of academic character.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it is, trying to bring Freud to the masses, the mainstream by...
Yeah.
I say masses, actually. That theatre is 25 seats and they're all on the stage. So I'm not sure the masses is the right word. And also, do you notice that the theatre is just a selection of domestic and garden furniture?
Yeah, it doesn't look too legit, does it?
Or the audience seating. It's very Room Above a Pub, but with sort
strictly
of...
strictly off-Broadway.
Very off-Broadway, I'd say. Yeah, certainly doesn't qualify for Broadway on any level. But anyway, everything about that cold open is lovely, I think. Like Rachel's excitement, Chandler's cynicism about it, the accent, the song. It's just like, boom, boom, boom. Great. And, as Phoebe points out, based on this play, Estelle signs Joey. And he stays with her for the entire 10 years till she dies.
It's weird seeing Joey so enthusiastic about getting an agent, isn't it? Because you just assume that he always has one.
Yes, exactly.
Always specifically has Estelle.
And once we know how Estelle is as an agent, you would think he could dial down the excitement as well.
Yeah, although even though she isn't in the episode, she is specifically name-checked as Estelle, isn't she?
Yeah, they've given her not only a first name, but also a surname.
Yeah.
That's a good point. They didn't have to sort of give the company the name of the agent, did they? But they've really committed to introducing the character of Estelle Leonard. Maybe that's because she's already been in it as the nurse in the hospital, do you remember? So maybe they were like, right, she's going to be in it. We're going to call her Estelle. You know, they've already cast and given her a full sort of character brief.
I love the way Lisa Kudrow changes her delivery of, based on this play?
Yeah, there's really a lot of lovely little Phoebe moments in that, aren't there? This is just, I think this whole scene and then Chandler, should we go on to Aurora now? Is this the natural progression? Yeah, I think, because Chandler's meeting Aurora now. You know, we're in the theatre, he's gone over.
He says hey and invites her out within about 15 seconds, which is some, like, moving fast.
It's very, efficient work from someone that's terrible at asking women out, you know? I'd like to think, right, I'm posing this as a hypothesis. I'd like to think I'm better at asking people out than Chandler on the whole, right? Less awkward, a bit more natural at it. But I would never just go up to someone immediately like that and be like, hey, want to go out with me? It's a bold approach, isn't it?
It is a very bold approach.
Actually, maybe that's because he's so awkward, he doesn't really know how to do it very well, you know?
But I don't think he does. He's sort of making a thing of being awkward, but he's certainly got the confidence to go over and approach her.
Exactly.
Well, once encouraged to. But like that still takes a level of confidence.
Well, he runs away very quickly though, doesn't he? Which, again, is not a classic move.
That's true.
Oh, do you want to go out with me? Thanks, bye. And then just leaves. But Phoebe's line, I'm talking about good Phoebe lines, but the line that encourages him to go over to her is that you always see those really beautiful women with these really nothing guys. You could be one of those guys. Which is A, so I've got two thoughts on this, Pete. One, absolutely good bit of observation, right? Happens all the time. Really hot women, really average men. You see them all the time in the street. Yes or no? Do you notice these things?
Not really, no.
My problem with it is, so that is a phenomenon that happens. But my problem with it is Matthew Perry in 1994. Very good looking man, isn't he?
That's true, yeah.
Like, he's not a nothing guy. He's not an average slash ugly man, as Phoebe's sort of trying to point out. I mean, frankly, the actor has been cast in a sitcom because he is talented and incredibly good looking, right? So that's what I think it falls down. But hey, that's just all I've got for you. And in Phoebe's defense, Aurora is really hot.
Friends, again, very ahead of the curve in terms of a bit of polyamory. Well, I mean, I know polyamory is absolutely not a new concept in 1994.
No, but on sort of mainstream telly, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what? I think like these days, it feels simpler to understand the boundaries of an open relationship from her perspective. Because Chandler's like desire for her to change her lifestyle. I'm jumping ahead a little bit.
Yeah.
Obviously, they meet up, they get along great. And then he's like, oh, actually, I want you all to myself.
Yeah.
You can't really say that because he knew what he was getting into. So this is the deal, mate. This is her lifestyle. It seems to work perfectly well for her.
Yeah.
You can't now be all sulky and be like, no, change and just for me.
You're not the primary partner either, you know? Like, frankly, if she's going to do that, probably with her husband.
Well, he's third on the list, isn't he?
Yeah, probably do that with your husband who you've married and committed a life to, as it were, you know?
At the time, okay, you might be able to sympathise with Chandler in terms of having the feels and wanting her all to herself. But these days, it probably seems more unreasonable than it probably did at the time for Chandler to be like, change your ways. Well, no, she's fine as she is, thanks.
Oh, absolutely unreasonable. What I would say in his defence, and what she hasn't done particularly well, which I think people do a lot better now if they are in open relationships, is make that clear from the start. Because what she does was...
She arranges to meet up and then...
she says she'll go on a date with him. And then apparently they talk for 7 hours before she casually just drops into conversation that she's got a husband, right?
Yeah.
And then a boyfriend. And she doesn't like... Surely that earlier on, you're like, just so you know, I'll go on a date with you. I'm in an open relationship. That cool?
Yeah, she possibly could have laid down the ground rules a little earlier.
Yeah, I think so. But having said that, Monica is very judgmental about open relationships. She says, this is twisted. Twisted!
Yeah.
Right, Mary Whitehouse, chill your beans. Like, that is a very British reference.
Mary, isn't it? I was just about to say. I don't think even a lot of British people would be like, who the fuck is
that? That's a very British and old reference. The absolute peak pinnacle of unrelatable references. You are welcome. Mm. Actually, I feel quite sorry for Ross in this moment when he's trying to explain polyamory to them and they just think he's super boring. I mean, he could make it a bit more exciting and a bit more pizzazzy, but he is basically going, hey guys, this is a thing. Like, I think monogamy and polyamory is a very interesting conversation to have with your friends. Don't shut Ross down for trying to talk about anything.
Yeah, he is genuinely trying to contribute to the conversation. And they're like, no, you boring old bastard.
Well, exactly. Twice. It's like quite an interesting topic. Poor guy. I mean, A, we talk about this a lot, and I know it was early days, and they probably didn't have that many locations, but don't take her to Central Perk on your first date, mate. Expand your horizons a little. But then the thing that really got me about this was he said they talked till 2 a.m. before she mentioned the husband, and where were they still at 2 a.m.? The coffee shop? Are you shitting me? That place opened until 2 a.m., and it was rammed. It was busy. They weren't even on the sofa. It was full at 2 a.m.
Well, it is in the city of New York, but even so.
Not 2 a.m.
Very quiet.
Not a coffee shop. Not somewhere you can't get a beer, I wouldn't have thought. But there you go. Anyway, it seemed to work because she was really up for it, wasn't she? Chandler's bed stresses me out. He doesn't have a headboard. And it's not even against the wall, which I don't like anyway. But at least that's some sort of... There's a bookcase behind it. Headboards are kind of weird, actually. I'm now thinking about them out loud, but a bed without a headboard to me and without at least a solid structure behind it, as it were.
If you've not got a headboard, you need to be up against the wall.
Right. And even that's a bit like if you're right, if he's sitting up in bed watching telly, what's he leaning on?
It's just got to be upright.
It's just got to have excellent posture and sit at a perpendicular angle.
Not Which doesn't sound comfortable.
Doesn't sound comfortable at all, mate, no. Anyway, back to Aurora not being communicative at all. She then drops Andrew into the mix without even flagging it up. Like, she's just picked up another one and gone, no, oh, here's Andrew. And hasn't told Chad. Like, I think she's bad at being polyamorous. That's what I'd say. Like, isn't she's the whole thing about being in an open relationship, like, being very clear and communicative? Isn't that sort of, like, the premise of it?
Well, you'd hope so. Well, no, I don't know. I don't know. I have no personal experience of it, so...
No, maybe not.
Fuck knows how it works.
When Chandler's trying to pitch for Aurora to leave all the other men, including her husband, plops a really specific Grinch reference in there mid-flow, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
I have to say, Pete, not that familiar with the Grinch.
I think Dr. Seuss generally has passed me by.
Right? Yeah, it's not... is it more of an American... Like, maybe that reference is much more... immediately relatable. Does that make sense to an American than it is to us Brits? But I'm just not sure that it's really really for
green
us.
Eggs and ham. That's a thing.
Well, they reference green eggs and ham in another early episode of Friends, don't they? And that always went right over my head. But we must get back to Lucy's point, because I have a number of thoughts on Lucy's point about Aurora's schedule. Like, that is, there's a lot going on there, isn't there?
Well, she goes from, I think going from one meetup straight to the next one is intense.
In the middle of an evening as well. She's leaving Chandler's bed, having done a bit of, you know.
I hope she'd shower first.
Playing with his dinkle.
Oh, no.
Dingle, 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 tinkle. Yeah, she's leaving his bed. She doesn't seem to be showering, does she? Just up and getting dressed. And then she's going off to fuck Andrew, is she? Is that the plan?
Maybe, yeah.
Like, at least just go for one man per day, right?
Yeah, I think as a courtesy, you'd hope that she at least, you know, deodorized.
Right. Well, no, I think a shower, mate, is absolutely more than reasonable to ask for if you're Andrew, you know?
Okay, fair.
I would have thought, wouldn't you? And also, but imagine, like, her husband's obviously happily with the open marriage, but she's like, oh, I'm off out for the evening. And... what, you have to have sex to two men tonight, are you?
If, like, that
you're
going is from reflective one to another. Of her day, like, that sounds exhausting. If she does that, like, seven times a week.
Well, she seems to be always leaving Chandler's to go and see someone else, doesn't she? Like, every time she leaves, that's the thing. So she's clearly, like, tight scheduling, like Lucy says, or maybe has no job. But either way, it just feels emotionally and physically exhausting more than anything, Pete. Sometimes you just want to go to sleep afterwards, don't you?
Talking of showers,
yeah.
Joey.
We'll play the sting, the second one of season 9. I don't know why I'm flagging them up so much, but I am. And then we'll have the advertorial break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Actually, you know, just before we get onto the but, when Ross is comforting Chandler, they're sitting on the same armchair. Do you notice that?
No. What do you mean?
You know, like at the end when he's like, put it this way, you broke up with this amazing, incredibly beautiful, unattainable woman, and you broke up with
her. Well, like sitting together?
Yeah, they're sitting, that's a single armchair, and they're both just sitting on it together. It just felt like a weird setup, because there's a lot of seats in that living room that nobody's sitting in. And
where's
a
poof when you need one?
Where's the poof slash ottoman? Exactly. Anyway, look, they can sit together if they want. Frankly, I have no issue with it whatsoever, but the friends of 1994, we know, are pretty homophobic, and I don't think they would have chosen the two men to sit next to each other, just sort of casually cuddled up, would they?
I hadn't made that observation. Well, that's what you're here for.
Well, yeah, you know, that's what we're here for, to really delve into the details, Peter. Anyway, onto the butt. I mean, where to begin with the butt double?
Who knew there were so many ways for an arse to perform? Because Joey is sort of, in the end, fired for his arse overperforming.
I don't understand what the shot is, right? The camera's next to the director, so it's clearly from behind. But all the acting Joey's doing must just be in his face, right? Which will definitely not be in the film, because his face isn't Al Pacino's face.
But that's the joke, isn't it? That his arse is somehow coming across two tents.
Yeah, but how? How is it doing that? I've never really understood this.
You could tense your arse.
Yeah, he talks about clenching, doesn't he? But then the second time, he says quiet desperation. What do you think Joey's doing for that? Ultimately, what does it fucking matter what Al Pacino's character's doing in the shower, whether his butt's tense or not? Like, who's going to watch that going, it feels a bit weird that Al Pacino's tensed his ass.
I think a depressed ass, to me, would be sort of flat and shapeless.
Right. Okay, and that's...
He probably doesn't have that kind of ass, Joey.
And do you think it should be a depressed ass?
Well, I don't know. I don't know the context of this. Well, no, I do know the context of the scene. His wife's dead and his brother's gone missing or something.
Well, this brings me on to the director, who is incidentally played by the actual Friends director, James Burrows.
Oh, really?
It's a good fact for you, isn't it?
I would say that the ass, Joey is performing the ass well, if it's tense, because if your wife was dead and your brother was missing, you would be pretty tense.
Right.
Which is so what you'd Joey's... be having quite an intense shower.
Right, exactly. But also, why is the director not given Joey any actual direction? That's his entire job.
That's true.
He's just gone, roll the tape, we want to get this in one take, action. And then he's getting really mad that Joey's doing something with his arse that he doesn't want, but he hasn't at any point told him what he wants from his arse.
What he wants from his arse.
Tell me what you want from my arse if you want my arse to be in your film. Well, they're talking about your arse. You can definitely see he's wearing swimming... I went Sean Connery there, didn't I? You can definitely see he's wearing swimming trunks in the shadow on the shower. Again, details that no one's probably ever looked at. But yeah, I just feel like the director's giving Joey a hard time to fire someone when you've just said, stand in the shower. Well, you haven't said anything. You've just said, roll the water, you know?
I do like that little bit that Phoebe does at the end where she's reassuring him, saying, it'll all be fine. And when she says, one day there'll be someone who says, I got the part, I'm going to be Joey Tribbiani's ass. Yeah. Like, that's a really nice bit.
It's very cute, isn't it? I think this entire sequence of events where Joey is preparing for the arse day... it's a bit nuts, right? So it's first thing in the morning, set the scene, yeah? Joey comes to moisturise his ass in his friend's bathroom. Quite weird already, but we presume Monica has moisturisers and stuff that he doesn't have, right? Then did you notice that he walks into the fridge pillar on the way to the bathroom?
I did not notice
In the background. Like, it's very funny, but Monica's just putting the paper on the table, which is kind of what your eye's drawn to. And in the background, you just see Matt LeBlanc just walk into that thing next to the fridge and then have to readjust. Funny. Anyway... why is his mum calling so early? Chandler busts in it almost immediately. Oh, his mum's on the phone at like 6 a.m. or whatever fucking time it is. And then Chandler acts as if it's completely normal for two roommates to just walk in on each other in the bathroom.
And then act shocked that he sees it out.
Well, I mean, that's my next point. So A, right, if you live with someone that's not a partner, would you ever walk in on the bathroom like it's normal?
No, no, I should hope not.
But considering Chandler's so happy to walk in on Joey in the bathroom, he must have therefore seen him naked, on the toilet, in the shower, whatever. How bad must whatever Joey's doing be for Chandler to react? Like, is he just sort of, I don't know, moisturising his ass right in the direction of the door? What's he doing that's that bad? They're bearing his entire anus towards the unlocked bathroom door.
Oh, no.
But like, it must be something like that, right? If you're parading your ass to the bathroom door, you might want to just lock it, eh? I don't know. Anyway, Joey gets fired. I think he's been hard done by. That's the upshot of this. Although, what I would say about Joey is he could have dialed down the initial excitement a little bit when he was embarrassed about the role. Why is he making such a big deal about being in the film when he knows the role? He could have saved himself a bit more embarrassment with his friends if he hadn't done that. Just a little tip for next time, Joey. Hey? Hey?
Good advice.
Time for the quiz?
Have we got one?
See you next week.
Have we actually not?
I don't think so. Did Lucy say
no? We actually haven't got one, have we? I thought you asked me which episode we were doing this week the other day so that you could message someone about a quiz.
No, what I asked you for the episode was so I could watch the episode, Pete, which is frankly something. Is it fair to say we've forgotten how to do this in the interim?
Well, evidently.
Helen messaged us on the 27th of February, so almost a month ago, saying, hello, do you need a quiz for the next episode? If so, I'll get it done today.
Right, well, you've got your list of quiz people, haven't you?
Yes, I do, actually. It's on that thing. So we'll get a quiz for next time. If you want to do a quiz, look back through our Instagram at the post that says, do you want to do a quiz? And comment underneath it, please.
Do you want to know what next week's episode is?
Yes, please.
It is Series 9, Episode 1, the one where no one proposes.
Great. Okay, lovely. Well, a quiz. I'm going to message someone. What do I want? Who's going to do the quiz, Pete? Say stop. I'm going to scroll through all the people in the comments and say stop when you think. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Stop.
Farley. Hello. Would you like to do a quiz on the one where no one proposes for next week? Thanks.
And on that note, see you next week.
All the best.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.